Have you ever paid a steep price for something that you believed in? Have you ever remained steadfast when it was inconvenient to do so? I think any great institution, any great cause, has people who have sacrificed to preserve it, or who have given their lives rather than renouncing what they hold dear. Our nation is a great nation. Yet it is only so because before us, someone defended it. It exists today because some were willing to sacrifice for it. I ask you, do we still raise up men and women who will live sacrificially for something greater than themselves? What happens when there are no longer enough people who are willing to live by principles of truth, love, and self-sacrifice? When we no longer do these things or have these things, when our lives become focused on me, what I get, what I want, what I have a right to, that is the day that our country will end. The church likewise exists because the Lord has inspired individuals to testify to God. If we only preach the gospel of convenience, what kind of church will we have? It may be a church, but it will not be the church of Jesus Christ. Now, if we look around us in our day, if we look at the different religious organizations and the religious landscape, what church has remained faithful to Christ's teachings? What church has not bowed to the pressures of society? What church has continuously taught the full truth? The Catholic Church. And it's not because we're better, certainly not. It's not only because we have the fullness of the truth. It's because the Holy Spirit has preserved and protected the church. The Catholic Church exists because God preserves and protects it. He has raised up witnesses to testify to the truth. St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, back in the time of the Reformation, were killed by Henry VIII for remaining faithful to the church's teaching on marriage. Charles Lwanga was martyred in Uganda for holding firm to the church's position on sexuality. John Paul II was an assassination attempt against him for his challenge of the communist oppression in his day. There have been people who have gone before us who have made great sacrifice to live their faith, or who have died because they were not willing to compromise it. There are those around us who lost their lives because they were a voice for those who had no voice. Again, these individuals did so by God's grace and because they consistently responded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit who is guiding them, who is speaking to them, who speaks to us. And there are those who would not sacrifice. There are those who would be living in their fear to oppose evil. They'd rather cringe away or hide back from opposing evil. And there are those who took things for granted. There are those who didn't want to be inconvenienced. The question is, who are we? What kind of life do we live? What are we willing to do and say and speak for Christ? Are we a people who live by principles? Are our actions and our thoughts guided by something outside of ourselves? Do we align ourselves with the will of God, or do we do so publicly? Do we proclaim the word of God to be upholding the truth of God? And do we proclaim that consistently in our lives? Very shortly, our nation, all of us, will have the responsibility of electing public officials. Are we guided by the truth that God has given us? The words of Edmund Burke, an Irish statesman, back in the 17th century, when our country was beginning to strive for its own freedom, he says this about our duty. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Will we testify to a lived and principled faith in God? Or do we give our allegiance to something or someone else? It cannot be denied, if you look around in our nation, in our world, we have many unjust leaders, unjust judges, men and women who neither fear God nor any human being. And so we must approach them as Christ advises us to approach that judge in the gospel today. We must cry out for justice. We must continually bring our requests before the Lord and before those justices, before those politicians, before the leaders of nations. We must seek justice and human dignity for all. Those who reject God, who reject God's definitions of family, of life, even of freedom, these voices have been loud. They have been persistent in our day. So that even those who are just, those who call themselves Christians, have begun to give way. Should we not, who proclaim to know the truth and to live in the truth, should not our voices be more urgent then? Should they not be more loud? It's not about getting our way. You know, if that's all it was about, if that's all that was at stake, we might quietly bear our sufferings. But what is at stake is the souls of our children, the souls of our family and friends, of our countrymen. If we are silent, if we do not proclaim God's word when it is inconvenient, then we are to blame. We will be held accountable. St. Paul says to us, "Woe to me if I do not preach." Woe to us. Woe to us if we preach only a convenient gospel. To do so is to create God in our image rather than to live in the image of God. So do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. If you are ashamed to ask why, or to say, you know, this is the truth, if you're ashamed to do that, is it because you do not fully believe it, or because it's more convenient not to believe it? We must strive to overcome whatever it is that keeps us from proclaiming and living that true gospel. Our faith cannot remain a private affair. I would even go so far as to say it is unchristian to live faith in a private way alone. Now, that doesn't mean we're obnoxious to other people. That doesn't mean that we are anti-atheist or anti-Muslim or anti-something else. But it means that we live our faith within the context of our everyday lives. It means that we care for the people around us enough that we live our faith visibly, that we do not compromise, and that we're willing to face persecution, discomfort, and stand up to evil when we encounter it in our world. Something as simple as a cross or an icon on our desk, maybe at work, or praying before meals, not only in private but also in public. If you live a private faith, if you do not take Christ into the workplace, into your daily interactions with others, even into the voting booth, if you do not allow Christ to speak into your lived experiences, how can you be a witness? How can you be a witness? And what are you witnessing to? Lord God, whose we are and whom we serve, help us to glorify you this day in all of the thoughts of our hearts, in all the words of our lips, in all the works of our hands, as becomes those who are your servants. We ask this through Christ our Lord.